March 17, 1911, and the church dedicated to the Apostle of Ireland, St. Patrick's, first opened its door for worship, becoming the national church for the Irish community in the heart of Rome. In his homily Thursday morning, the Cardinal Prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, William Joseph Leveda, spoke of the Christian meaning of Jubilee, of celebrating the history of being church and the tradition of faith that has been strong in the Irish people since their conversion by St. Patrick over 1,500 years ago. Cardinal Leveda said that no one can ignore the current difficult situation for the church in the country and spoke of the terrible crime of sexual abuse of children who are most beloved of Christ. He also called on Catholics at home in Ireland and abroad to pray for the conversion of sinners. The Cardinal spoke of the concern of Pope Benedict and the Holy See for the renewal of the Irish Church, mentioning the ongoing apostolic visitation. Finally, he called on the young people of Ireland to allow themselves be inspired by the story of the young man Patrick and his missionary dream, so they in turn may bring the good news of the gospel to future generations. Under the patronage of the Irish Augustinians, St. Patrick's is a mere stone's throw away from the bustling decadence of the famous Via Veneto. A magnificent mosaic of the Apostle of Ireland dominates the sanctuary of the church, depicting his famous conversion of the High King Lear at the Hill of Tara using the shamrock to explain the Trinity.
Yes, of course, it's St. Patrick on the Hill of Tara.
We spoke to Father James Downey, prior of the Augustinian community of St. Patrick's, about St. Patrick's missionary message yesterday and today.
So Tara was the residence of the King of Ireland, and I suppose it was symbolic of getting the Irish nation converted, you know, when the king was converted. And you've got this inscription, Ut Christiani et Romani, which is from supposed to be a saying of St. Patrick from the Book of Armagh, I think, which might be less you know, reliable than the Confessions, but as you are Christians, so also be Romans, is the translation of it.
Catholicism and Christianity has been a fundamental part of the development of Ireland. The Irish Church has experienced its most difficult period, perhaps, since almost the conversion of St. Patrick in the last 20 years,
yes,
particularly. Do you think we really need to look back, perhaps, to the very precepts of Christianity as taught in the early centuries of Christianity in Ireland? Because we do have a fantastic tradition, particularly with religious, particularly with our monks and our brothers who travelled throughout Europe,
yes,
and helped in the re-evangelisation of Europe. Is it now a case that we need to perhaps re-evangelise Ireland?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it. I think the Pope's idea is that all of Europe needs to be re-evangelised. We look at ourselves, and this building in a sense is symbolic, because at one stage, in my time, it would have been all full of students, all preparing for the priesthood. And now most of it is rented out to a big Italian company. I think that's symbolic of the change which has taken place. I don't know what the future is going to bring. I don't even know. I mean, you can't say whether the order will survive. I think one thing we can say, I think the church will survive, but what form it will take, I'm not too sure, you know. I think the whole face of the church in Ireland probably will change. I mean, I read somewhere recently that in that period when the Church of Ireland appeared to be flourishing, maybe there was a kind of superficiality about it, you know, that the faith had already was collapsing a little bit, even though you didn't see it in the surface, which might be one explanation of, I think, by comparison with other countries. I mean, the Church in Ireland has collapsed much more quickly, I think. Say, in the rest of Europe, it's been a more gradual thing. With us, it's been more, it's apparently more radical, I think. More, it happened all of a sudden, almost.
One of the greatest charisms of St. Augustine, he went to the forefront of evangelization.
Yes.
And he was radical in his ideas of going out to meet those who were almost violently opposed to the church.
Yes.
And he faced them. This is a major challenge, but perhaps one to which your order is particularly called, the idea of going out among even Irish people who are fallen from the church and who are also quite angry with the church.
Yes, it certainly is. I mean, we should be looking back at St. Augustine as we sort of address that. And, I mean, as you speak, I'm also thinking of our own history. We're not actually founded by Augustine, you know, by St. Mm-hmm. We don't go back. We haven't a direct link like the Franciscans would have to Francis, or the Dominicans would have to Dominic. were both much more recent. But we began as kind of, you know, different communities, hermits they were called at the time. You know, they were living as hermits, following the rule of St. Augustine. And then it is in 1256, it was over here in Santa Maria del Popolo, the Piazza del Popolo, that the kind of first chapter got together. But the point, what you were saying reminds me of, at that stage, there was this same type of problem, I suppose, in Europe, and they made a decision to, instead of staying as in hermits out in the countryside, they'd all get together and go into the cities to address a new problem of urbanization. So in that sense, both St. Augustine himself and our own origins as an order in our present, as we have it at present, suggest that, you know, if we followed our own charism, we'd be doing something similar.
Speaking about St. Patrick and the idea, the affinity the Irish have to him and the affinity the Irish have to the tradition of the Church, it does give a glimmer of hope, however, that the Irish haven't completely lost their faith, perhaps just needs to be reawakened in them.
St. Patrick has, for some reason, you know, all over the world, inspired. There's a tradition there, and while a lot of it is commercial and superficial, there probably is something there that should be tapped into, I think, you know. I think that's a challenge for the Irish Church, but also for us as Augustinians to try to tap into that. On the one hand, it's very easy to be depressed by the situation now. To orders like ourselves, you know, we sometimes ask ourselves, are we meant to continue? And that's not impossible, that our time is up. But on the other hand, I think that's kind of a negative attitude. One has to have a positive attitude. On the one hand, relying that there is a future there. On the other hand, not knowing exactly what form the future is going to take. But you take confidence in the fact of that St. Patrick tradition, for some reason, it's alive and it's there, and there must be something in it that you can get to the root of and make it a kind of a seed or a branch for the future.
Meanwhile, in the See of St. Patrick, Armagh, in Northern Ireland, the primate of the National Church, Cardinal Sean Brady, launched the pilgrimage in the lead-up towards the 50th International Eucharistic Congress, which the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, has decided will be held in the Irish capital, Dublin, in June 2012. I'm Emer McCarthy.
Christ be with thee, Christ.